We love you, Master. And we thank you. And we come to you this morning in the name that's above all names, Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. Wash us with the blood. Wash us with the stripes. Send forth your word. Heal your people. Heal your people here. Each and every one that needs a healing, Lord, I send your word. Heal them. Heal them from the torment of their past. Heal them from the torment of Satan's deceptions. Heal them from blindness, from deafness, from sickness, disease, and infirmity. Heal them from guilt and condemnation. Heal them from viruses and flus. Heal them from ancestral curses that have been brought down their family life. Father, I'm standing in the gap for your people. And I touch and agree not with what I think, but what your word says. Because we are covenant children. We stand before you as a righteous God who shall judge us according to your righteousness. And as a covenant-keeping child and children of the Most High, you said, ask, and you shall receive. When two touch and agree, it shall come to pass. You said it, not us. You said it, Father. And because you said it, we agree with it. And that's two. So we know it will come to pass. And we ask, Lord, that it will begin to manifest right now. In this place. Right now. Lord, all heart disease, mental disease, and blood disease, be loosed. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, cancer, bone, every label that's been placed upon every individual in this place right now, of every doctor, and according to the world system, I break off of you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the name that every sickness, disease must bow to. In the name of Jesus, I break those labels off of every single one in his name, in the name of Jesus. And the label I place upon you is called healing, prosperity, health, wealth, favor, abundance, overflow, and anointing. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 7. I think we've been here before. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. What is he?
The door of the sheep.
He's the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Who's the sheep?
We are.
I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And go in and out and find pasture. It doesn't say find pastor. It says find pasture. Okay. Hallelujah. Verse 10. The thief. Who's the thief? Satan. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. You know, there was an impartation today, and there's an impartation happening right now. And because when we get together in the presence of God, and there was a wonderful touch of the Spirit this morning, and I just sensed, whew. And there's an impartation, and it's impartation. It's the area where he's saying, awaken and receive what I have for you.
Amen.
And this is so powerful because it's something that I've never really looked at in the area of, you know, we have this tendency, we've come in this planet, and of course, we want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. It's because we came from somewhere, right? You wouldn't want to know who you are, why you're here, and where you're going if you didn't come from somewhere. Amen. And we came from God. But the one thing is it's what we are. You know, we have a tendency to always try to prove who we are, find out who we are, but there's a difference between who you are and what you are. And in this, Jesus says, I am the door. In other words, it doesn't say who he is. He's saying, I am is the what. I am. I am. I am the door. He's saying that I am is the who. The door is the what I am. Is everybody with me? So the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that he comes to steal your call to battle because you've been called. He comes to kill your purpose to destroy his kingdom. And he comes to destroy your destiny, which is your function to infiltrate Satan's kingdom. So first, one of the things he always wants to do is steal your identity. He always wants to steal. You know, most people don't even know what they are, and they're trying to prove who they are. So he steals your identity, then he kills your purpose and destroys your destiny. And even as believers, we have been walking for such a long period of time in the area of who we are, really not knowing what we are. Is everybody okay? Exodus 3. So when Jesus said, I am, it said who he is. But the what I am is he said, I am the door. And there's a difference. Exodus chapter 3. Spiritual identity. I thought you'd appreciate that, honey. Exodus chapter 3. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Start at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, now, I want you to look at something. He says, here I am. I am represents who. It does not represent what. Then he said, verse 5, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the what? The God of your father. Now he's beginning to reveal what he is. So everybody got it? I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So here's something powerful, because he says, I am, representing who he is. And then he says, I am an identifying of what he is. Is everybody with me? Identifying that he is the creator. He is the God. He is the creator of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is everybody with me? In verse 11. Then Moses said to God, who am I? Hold on a second. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Wow, wait a minute. Who am I? What am I? So he said, I will certainly be with you. This is what God said. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. In other words, you shall serve God, the Creator, on this mountain. Verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God, the Creator of their fathers, has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to him, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has what? Sent you. So I am is associated with the who. This is because this, you know, in other words, somebody says, well, what's your name? They're trying to what? Identify who you are. It's an identification. See, Moses knew in the reality of who he was because of what he was brought up with. But there was another spiritual identity that he never knew who he was or what he was. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? So in this, all right, now listen. Moses, right, identifies that God is the Creator. Moses says to him, who am I? What is he doing? He's searching for his identity. Why he's talking to God. Amen. Who am I? Why would you appear to me? Who am I? Wait a minute. And you're saying that you're the Creator of those that I have followed and believed in? I mean, whoa. What am I? He was searching for his identity. In other words, the Creator was with him. Now, God confirms, he says, listen, I'm going to be with you. That brought reality to Moses of what he was. Is everybody with me? Okay, he was an inherited one. In other words, Moses is thinking, I am a Hebrew. That's the who. With an eternal manifest. That's the what. He got a spiritual identity. See, the spiritual identity is eternal. Eternal. It's not temporary. Spiritual identity is eternal. It is not temporary. Moses is what is I am. Came with an identity. He identified his place of origin. That's when you know what you are. When your place of origin has been identified to you. Your place of what? Origin has been identified to you. Puts you in a place of spiritual identity. In other words, you know yourself by name. People know you by name, but they do not know your place of origin. When your place of origin is identified, what it does is bring you spiritual identity. Is everybody okay? Go to Genesis 25. See, there's so many people that know who they are, but don't know what they are. Well, they actually think they know who they are. Because if you really don't know what you are, you're who you are, it's not complete. Genesis 25. Is everybody there? Genesis 25 and verse 21. Let's read it together. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. In other words, what God was identifying was the promised seed. Where the promised seed is where the spiritual identity is. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, which would become Israel. Isaac was 6 years old when he bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary." So he was identifying himself as the who, as someone that was weary here. I'm weary. I'm a hunter. This is what I am. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die. So what is the birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now this is powerful because this is so prophetic. Now Esau, remember it was spoken to Rebekah that there would be two nations. But the younger would be the one, the older would be serving the younger. In other words, even though that the older would come out first, but the younger was holding on to the heel. See, this was so prophetic because it was about Jesus coming into the natural realm. We'll talk about this here in a second. So what happened was, is because Esau came first, he was considered the older. But even though that he was came first as the older, he was not the promised seed. The promised seed was Jacob. So Jacob's desire was to have a spiritual identity because he was what? The promised seed. Is everybody with me? Now the word says that in Genesis that Jesus, that there would be a branch of Christ that would come forth, a branch of God that would come forth. And he would put on flesh, and he would bruise his heel, but he would crush the head of Satan. Is everybody with me? And he would grant everyone who was willing to believe him and follow him a new birthright. See, what was manifesting here, things have to have a shadow. They have to be rehearsed first before they can come and be manifested. Everything that Jesus does is fulfill. When he came, that's what he did, was to fulfill. Everything in the Old Testament is associated with the shadow of things to come. They had to be spoken in before they could be manifested. But Jesus is the only one that could fulfill it. Is everybody with me? So in this, Esau sold his birthright of inheritance. Esau came out first, even though Jacob grabbed the heel of Esau. Esau desired flesh. Jacob desired truth. Again, Jesus came in the flesh, bruised his heel on Satan's head, and transferred the birthright with spiritual identity by the promised seed. Esau lost identity for flesh fulfillment. And what does the word lost mean? Living outside salvation's truth. So everybody got it. Living outside salvation's truth. Let's go to John 3. Spiritual identity. So what's the enemy trying to always do? Steal your identity. But you know what? So many people don't even have it. So many people who claim to be believers don't even have the identity. They're still trying to find out who they are when they don't even know what they are yet. Your who you are can always be manipulated until you find out what you are. John chapter 3, verse 5. John 3, 5. Let's read it together. And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Why? Because you need to have another identity, a spiritual identity. With that comes a new DNA. He said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, there isn't the question about it. There's a submission to it. Is everybody okay? So when you are born of the Spirit, you get a new ID. You now have an eternal call, an eternal purpose, an eternal destiny. It's not who you are, it's what you are. You are now an eternal offspring, and you are armed and dangerous. You are now a what? Eternal offspring, and you are armed and dangerous. Who you are is you are a carrier of the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Who I am is identified in the seen realm. What I am is identified in the unseen realm. Is everybody okay? Go to Matthew 7. Spiritual identity. What are you? You are what? An eternal offspring. So if you're an eternal offspring and you're always setting your mind on the things of eternity, no matter what it is. Why? Because we are eternal. We are eternal lights. We're not humanites, right? So if I am eternal and you're eternal, that brings us a spiritual identity that always, no matter what's going on, you do not have to prove who you are. I am because he is. And without he is, I'm nothing. But my spiritual identity is associated with what I am, not just who I am. It must first be what I am. If what I am, what I am is an eternal offspring, I know all heaven is behind me. Now, who I am is a carrier of the anointing, which establishes my call, purpose, and destiny. But that's associated with who I am. But what I am can never get changed unless I give it away. So there's an area that we must always maintain of what I am. But one of the things the enemy always wants to do is steal what you are and try to manipulate it with who you are. Is everybody okay? See, that means that you're going to do the will of God no matter what. If you always maintain what you are, nothing else will matter. Because you are associated with the things of eternal, not temporary. Then you will never want to associate things with temporary that would affect the eternal. Because it's going to affect what you are. See, the world is associated with who I am. That's why we need to be somebody according to the world. They're always looking for the name. What you've accomplished. Whoa, this is who you are. No. No, it's got nothing to do with who I am. It's what I am. Amen. I can't go deep enough. Unless everybody hung their flesh here. And we really got into spirit. But there's got to be a grasping of what we are. It's got to get there. You've got to fight. You've got to do everything you can to grasp and hold on to what you are. Not just who you are. The world associates with who you are, not what you are. Who you are is temporary. What you are is eternal. John 7? Matthew 7? Thank you. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Everybody there? Let's read it together. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Wow. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?'" Hello? "'Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness.'" Why? Because they lost their identity. They maintained the who I am, but they lost the what I am. And because they lost the what I am, it opened the door to sin, manipulation, and using the things of eternal influence. Are you listening? But God will use anyone to rescue. But the thing that was lost is the what I am. Is everybody okay? And this is what the enemy wants to constantly steal from you. Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, "What are you?" You know what they're going to tell you? "I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm Irish, I'm Jewish, I'm Italian, or I'm Christian, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm..." See, they're associating of what I am according to who I am because they don't know what they are. When somebody says, "What are you?" "I'm an eternal offspring." See, that changes everything. That, what does that bring your focus to? Nothing here. Hello? "What are you?" "I'm an eternal offspring." Whoa. Why didn't I think of that before? What am I? I'm an eternal offspring, and I'm armed and dangerous. Has everybody got it? See, the world wants to label you. What are you? I'm an addict. I'm a this. I'm a that. This is how the world labels you. Now, let me share something with you. Because when you agree with it, you become it. That's why the word says that those who practice such things according to the flesh, fornication, lust, perversion, those who are such, you know, drunkenness, whatever, all of these things are associated with the flesh, homosexuality, all of those things, everything's associated with the flesh because the identity of what they are has not been identified. Amen. They're only identified of who they are because of what they've been told or what they've come in agreement with. But if you maintain a what you are, if you maintain that you are an eternal offspring, armed and dangerous, you will always maintain your first focus, and it's of eternity. Now, if you'll maintain that, who you are will be coincide of what you are. And you will know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You will know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You'll know that you can do all things through Christ. You'll know those things. Why? Because you know what you are. That means that you have an inheritance. And if you have an inheritance, our inheritance is an eternal thing, because everything of your life now is so associated with eternity, not temporary, because you know what you are. You may look in the mirror, that's a who you are. Hello. Who's in the mirror, you know? That's a who you are. What you are is not associated in the area of the temporary realm. Only who you are. Has everybody got it? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 4. Is everybody okay? Let's read this, please. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate what? Me. Imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of the way of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in what? Word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Paul was representing the Father, the eternal Father here. And representing his eternal Father associated with his children. Paul's desire of impartation is for who you are to in the area of what you are, so that you can express what you are through the who you are. Is everybody with me? So you can express what you are through the who you are. Paul's concern in this was that he became an example. So many times, you won't know what you are until you start putting into practice who you are. Is everybody with me? So it's got to start somewhere. So many times it's hard for people to comprehend right off the bat that I'm an eternal being.
Yeah, really?
So what Paul was doing, he was having them imitate him. He said, listen, now, follow what I do until the what I am is imparted in you. Follow who I am until the what I am is imparted in you. So it's got to start somewhere, doesn't it? But there's got to be participation, doesn't it? You know, many people receive Jesus as their Savior. Okay, so they believe they're saved. Great. But then there's an area where the Bible says work out your own salvation. But working out your salvation doesn't mean that you're earning salvation. It means that you're cooperating with God so that His image and likeness and character can be established in you, so that no one comes to steal your identity and salvation. Didn't we just show that in Matthew 7? And the word where it says, and Jesus said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and I've done all of these things because of who I am, but they lost what they are. And they actually were lost. They were out. They lost. They were living outside of salvation's truth. And by living outside of salvation's truth, an individual is lost. Eternally. Not just temporary. Eternally. So in that, I am not trying to tell you that your salvation is established by your works. It's kept by your cooperation with God. So your salvation must be maintained. That's why who you serve when you die is where you go. You cannot expect God to say, well, you're my child, but you chose to serve Satan all of your days and expect to get home. Is everybody okay? So in this, the area of what I am is essential. But sometimes in this arena, it takes a period of time for the what I am to be established and planted because it's associated with the promised seed. So what Paul was saying is, follow me, imitate me for the who I am. If you'll imitate the who I am, the what I am will become manifest. The what I am will become manifest. Glory to God. Let's go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become what? Sluggish, but what? Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. So he's saying again, imitate and follow as the example of who you are until what you are is manifest. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Everyone say, I am.
I am.
Because he is. Verse 7, let's read it. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as this is your purpose, is to destroy Satan's kingdom, right? Your call is to battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is your function and what you're supposed to do to infiltrate Satan's kingdom. Is everybody okay? Verse 9. Let's read it. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his what? His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So we see that the seed, the promised seed, remains. And that promised seed is associated with a spiritual identity. The spiritual identity is associated with the promised seed, the what I am. In other words, you may know who you are, but do you know what you are? Hallelujah. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. He's here. In verse 1, would you read it with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Life in Christ. Spiritual identity is identified as what I am, not just who I am. My life is living in the life of Christ, which is living in him. This is how I am maintaining what I am. By living in his life, he's not living in mine. Genesis 1. That's why many people try to bring Christ in their life, and is everybody with me? They try to bring God in their life and then live their life. Then the reason why they do it is because they do not have spiritual identity. Because the only way that you can live is when you live in his life. You are living in his life. You gave your life. You are living in his life. And the only way to maintain that, are you listening? And the area of spiritual identity is by living in his life because of what I am, not because of who I am. Genesis 1:26, everybody there. That's why many people go back to, instead they start their life living in Christ, and then they want to bring God in their life. And they go back into the world and try to live that way. It's because they neither had their spiritual identity or they've lost it. In verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, and according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. There, and every creeping thing. Here's where what was identified as eternal beings, fellowshipping with their creator. Their who was Adam and Eve with a call and purpose and identity. But their what was, they were eternal beings, weren't they? With dominion. With an eternal call, eternal purpose, and an eternal destiny. Go to chapter 3. Start at verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Why would they die? They would lose their spiritual identity. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, he lied. They already were like God. Does everybody got it? What was he trying to do? Steal their identity. Hello. What's he trying to do to you? Amen. And when he does that, what happens? Then we try to bring God in our life and into the world. And we start over again. Satan stole their spiritual identity and replaced it with a lost identity. Now they're living out of salvation's truth, outside of salvation's truth. And because they were living outside of salvation's truth, they were dying. Now everything after them was a search for who I am, what I am, why am I here, where am I going? Go to Genesis 4. Is everybody okay? Hanging in there? Are you getting it? If you never lose what you are, you'll get through everything.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. If you hold on to what you are, you'll have victory in everything. It doesn't matter. No matter what goes on, no matter what happens around you, if you hold on to what you are, and that's what the enemy wants to steal. Genesis 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again. This time she bore Abel. So who was the first one? Cain. Was he the promised seed? No. Hallelujah. And you'll find out here. Verse 2. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a keeper of the what? Sheep. Hello. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, please understand that the firstborn in this from Adam and Eve was because their firstborn could not be of the seed. Because she was the mother of life now, and it wasn't eternal life. It was temporary life. So the firstborn had to be the offspring, basically, of Satan. Are you listening? That's why you and I have a self. What did Jesus say? Deny yourself, because yourself is the offspring of Satan. That's why you must be born again, so you can get your true identity of what you are, and it can correspond of who you are. Is everybody all right? So, Abel was the what? What was his? What was he? Okay, now wait a minute. No, what he said what he was. What was he? He was a sheep keeper. Who was he? Abel, the second of Adam and Eve. The seed of promise. The first one had to be the seed of unrighteousness. The second one had to be the seed of righteousness. Is everybody all right? I mean, you got to look at this prophetically. Everything God does is he performs it first, and then he fulfills it. He performs it first, then he fulfills it. It's like a rehearsal. Because he has to speak things in before he can fulfill them. Cool. So we know that Cain was upset, wasn't he? In verse 6, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do what? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Whoa. So Abel was accepted, Cain was rejected. And now look at, let's read verse 7 again. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin, which means the presence of evil, lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should what? Rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Ooh. Go to verse 25. So we know The promised seed was killed. So what's God going to replace? The next promised seed. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Ishnah. Then man began to call on the name of the what? So things changed, didn't they? Okay, even though he was a promised seed, he was born in the image and likeness, not of God anymore, but of Adam. So everybody got it. See, they could not be born again, even though they carried the promised seed, until everything was fulfilled through Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1. So when somebody comes up to you, you can say, man, who are you? Say, you. You don't have to ask me who I am. Let me tell you what I am. It's not who you be, it's what I be. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Spiritual identity. Verse 15, let's read it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a what? Pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. There's that pattern. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Long-suffering as a pattern until your identity is formed in you. Your spiritual identity of what I am, not just who I am. Go to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. That's why Paul was always saying, until Christ be formed in you. He prayed, hurry, Lord, hurry. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we were what? Buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Well, so in this, we are walking in the newness of life, because we're not walking in our life. Because we know what we are walking in his life. And I want to close at Psalm 17. Spiritual identity. Do not let the enemy steal it. People will get lazy. They will compromise. The enemy will try to sway you and bribe you. Amen. Just like he did Esau. For fulfillment of the flesh, he lost his spiritual identity and his inheritance. Many who backslide, many who go back into the world, it's because they sold their spiritual identity. Or maybe some of them never had it. They've been living on who they are, but not what they are. Psalm 17, hallelujah, verse 13. Would you read it with me? Arise, O Lord, comfort him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of the possession for their babes. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Spiritual identity. It's not who you are. It's what you are. But when what you are is established in you, the who you are will be expressed according to his image and likeness, because you will be living in his life. He's not living in yours. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected and grow and bear fruit for your glory and bring revelation to your people of what they are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.